Now, the Sunday Spin continues on 720 WGN. Here's Rick Pearson.
Welcome back for your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio overlooking the Chicago River and the lake. A little choppy out there on the lake. The wind's blowing off the lake today. And here, joining me in the studio, is my good friend and colleague Bill Ruthart, part of the Chicago Tribune's political team, whose specialty is covering the mayor. And I'm glad I could wake you up, because I figured you had to be sound asleep after the week that you've had.
It was a grueling week, but I've seen worse. We're halfway to a Saturday Night Live super fan skit here with all this Bears gear we have on. I guess we're ready for football season, huh?
Da Bears. Well, yeah, I think, as I said, after this kind of... Remember, it was supposed to be a short week last week, right?
Yeah. Supposedly.
I was telling Andy earlier that at least the Bears, it's like we'll be able to flip the channel for at least a little bit and get out of the political insanity that has infested our lives. We talked to Bill Brady in the last segment about state politics a little bit, and I didn't get the chance to ask him, but I'm kind of curious what your take is about now with this bombshell news of Emanuel not seeking re-election. All of the talk is who's going to be the next mayor, who's running, who's in, who's out. It sucked all of the political oxygen for the gubernatorial race right out the
this
door.
This may be the only place in America where a mayor's race can overshadow a race for governor.
I don't know about that. I mean, New York.
Maybe. But New York's mayoral races haven't seen anything like we're about to see in this upcoming race in February. I mean, we've already have a dozen candidates in. We have another five or six prominent elected official types looking at jumping in the race now. I think, you know, when we get closer to November, the last few weeks, people will, Pritzker and Rauner will make to it to make sure people are paying attention to them. And I'm sure, I mean, we're already seeing nonstop ads from the two of those. And
right.
I mean, what's the over under and how many of those ads we'll see during the Bears game tonight, right? I mean, so, you know, they're there. But yeah, certainly right now in this moment, everyone is chattering at least in political circles in Chicago about who's going to succeed Rahm Emanuel.
Well, and I think, you know, there comes an issue here for Democrats, for Pritzker and those, because you're obviously counting on big, big turnout in Chicago. You're counting on that out of the city. You're counting on that as kind of helping the blue wave that gets talked about, if it exists in reality. And now I almost have to wonder if you've got to devote even more resources to get out the vote efforts to avoid complacency. And two, again, a misdirection, a focus on look over here at the mayor's race and not what lies ahead on November 6th.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly something that they'll, you know, consider. I think, you know, another thing simply could be reaching out to all these people running for mayor and saying, hey, if you want to weave in the importance of this November election into your narrative, we'd appreciate it, right? Because they all have an interest in obviously have an ally in the governor's mansion in Springfield. So, you know, I think Pritzker's one of the things he's done consistently throughout this as he has put money into the party infrastructure, what he's, you know, put millions of dollars into, you know, the state organization that's trickled down into the counties, and that helps your field operation. That's what drives turnout. And, you know, in Chicago, it's a little bit of a different dynamic. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, what's happening nationally, what's happened here in Illinois over the last 4 years, it doesn't have a lot of Democrats too pleased. I think there's plenty of reasons to turn out. There'll probably just be a lot of reminders between now and November.
I'm curious what your thoughts are about what Mayor Emanuel said about the issue of how he doesn't, at the time when he made his announcement, that he didn't think the winning candidate was in the race yet. And you know, he's kind of elaborated on that too, is that, well, look at this field, that isn't stopping, you know, other prominent names from, you know, on Monday we have Tony Preckwinkle basically taking the wraps off a campaign for mayor with an exploratory committee. But I'm curious about that because, I mean, you do have people like Paul Vallis, who has experience here. Obviously, the former police superintendent, Gary McCarthy. I'm not sure that the field had been, when Emmanuel looks at the field that it existed at the time when he says, I'm done, I don't think that was ever the final field anyway.
It was getting close. I think it was a classic Emmanuel move to throw shade at all 12 of the folks who even dared challenge him, right? And, you know, their rebuttal is he's getting out because he decided he couldn't win. I don't know that was necessarily the case either. I think what it does is it's his attempt to delegitimize those candidates because at some point there's going to be someone in this race who Emmanuel may not overtly endorse, but there will be a wink and a nod and probably a heck of a lot of Rahm Emanuel donors lining up behind someone. And so that someone is not currently in the race. And so by, throwing shade at the group that's sent out so far, that was his way of signaling to voters that stay tuned. We're going to have some other heavy hitters getting in this thing.
Well, and truly, like, for example, if Emmanuel had sought a third term, Tony Preckwinkle wouldn't be.
Yeah, of course not. At it. Right.
Susana Mendoza, the state comptroller, other Gary Chico, other.
Yeah, so you got Gary Chico, who ran in 2011, finished a distant second. He was Daley's chief of staff, ran the school board in the Parks District. Susana Mendoza co-chaired Emmanuel's campaign last time around with Congressman Luis Gutierrez, who also is considering a run for mayor now. So those are two Emmanuel allies. Preckwinkle thought about it 4 years ago, decided she wanted to wrap up her work on the county's finances. She's 71 years old, would be 72 by the time she took office. So people are, as difficult as the job is, that's some of the whispers going around in political circles already is, is she up for, that job in her 70s? Same with Bill Daley, former White House chief of staff under Obama, took Emmanuel's place at the White House, commerce secretary under Clinton. He's 70 years old. He's contemplated many a run for governor and pulled the plug every time. So, again, and at 7 years old, is he ready to try to bring the Daley name back to City Hall? So,
people ready for the Daley name back?
Right, especially as Democratic politics continue to drift toward the left. Daley would have to answer for his brother's financial mismanagement of the city, basically the parking meter deal, the huge pension obligations that Emmanuel's been working for the last 8 years to. A hole you've dug, somewhat way out of, but it's still a pretty big ditch. And then you got, the legacy of his father, Richard J. Daley, and the deep segregation of Chicago that continues to be a narrative in Democratic politics in this town as you see the booming development that's going on downtown with cranes dotting the skyline and still not a lot of economic development opportunity on the south and west sides.
We're speaking with my Tribune colleague, Bill Ruthart. We're talking about the race for mayor. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, joined here in the Allstate Skyline studio by Bill Ruthart, a member of the Chicago Tribune political team, specializes in covering the now outgoing mayor, as well as who's going to be mayor next. And let's take a look. Who's in?
So the main candidates who are in so far, and they
and
are.
I want to remind you, we have news at 9 o'clock. So okay.
So there's a dozen who have declared all before Emmanuel got out. They are former Chicago Police Superintendent Gary McCarthy, former Chicago Public Schools CEO Paul Vallis. There's a lot of formers here. Yes. Former Chicago Police Board President and former Federal Prosecutor Lori Lightfoot. Current Cook County Circuit Court Clerk Dorothy Brown, whose office has been under federal investigation for the last several years. Millionaire businessman Willie Wilson, who ran last time. Chicago Principals Association President Troy LaRavier. Activist J. Maul Green, tech entrepreneur Neil Salas Griffin, Southwest side attorney Jerry Joyce, policy consultant Amara Enya, attorney John Kozlar, and DePaul student Matthew Roney. So there you go.
And then, as we mentioned before the break, there those are among the main people who are eyeing this.
Yeah, so then you've got Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, who's taking a look. You've got Congressman Louis Gutierrez, Northside Congressman Mike Quigley, Bill Daley, and Gary Chico, who we mentioned was a longtime City Hall operative and knows how to run the city well. So those are probably the five bigger names that are taking a look, but there will be others as well.
Now, I had Michael Golden, who's a political strategist, and he's worked on Chico's campaign.
Right.
And he mentioned his belief that this is going to be an experience kind of choice, and that when you look at what's confronting the city, as we write about in the Sunday Tribune, just the massive complex issues that whoever becomes mayor is going to face, no one should view this as a prize. Certainly everybody would love it, but this is not going to be a prize job. But I wonder, given that issue of experience, you also have the issues that we talked about, where you kind of have this more leftward movement of Democrats in urban areas that we've seen in other campaigns across the country.
Here's my observation on that. I think the leftward movement, the uber progressiveness we're seeing, I think that plays out big time in the aldermanic races. Neighborhood by neighborhood, I think that narrative has traction, and it doesn't take a lot of money to get that message out. I'm not sure that's going to be the case on the same level in the mayor's race, and here's why. One, as you mentioned, Chicagoans, when they vote for mayor, they want to vote for somebody they know can do the job. That at the end of the day, there's a lot of stuff that hits the fan in this city, and they want to make sure that whoever is in the chair can handle it, and the city is in good hands. The other is the money equation. I mean, Rahm Emanuel spent $27 million last time around to get his message out in television ads. I'm not sure the folks that have the most progressive message in this race will have the kind of money to get that message out necessarily. The Troy LaRaviers of the world, who appeared in, Bernie Sanders' ad, last check, Troy LaRavier had $20,000 in his campaign fund. Lori Lightfoot is positioning herself as a progressive, although she'll face questions as her time as a prosecutor and whatnot, and some background that may run counter to that. But she's raised a couple $100,000. If a more centrist Democrat gets in this race and gets the money in town behind them, they're the interests of LaSalle Street, the types of developers and bankers and lawyers who filled Emanuel's campaign, that may drown some of that out. So that'll be a key dynamic to watch unfold. Now, if Louis Gutierrez gets in and has money behind him and he's shown an ability to fundraise, then you've got a progressive message paired with some
experience.
So it'll be fascinating. There's so many layers and wrinkles to this. And Preckwinkle certainly would be able to raise some money. She would probably be able to solidify union support relatively quickly. I'm not sure she would satisfy the very far left type of politics we've seen. She's more of an old school, political boss.
And you kind of see there's old guard Democrats behind. I mean, she's also the Cook County Democratic chairman as a result of the loss
but
by Joe Berrio.
She certainly could appeal on the policing issue, which is a major component of this race, given Laquan McDonald. We have Jason Van Dyke's murder trial, jury selection for that ongoing. She can appeal in a progressive manner on that topic in particular. She has a long track record of being in favor of criminal justice reform, and long has been critical of, policing issues in the city. So she certainly would have credibility on that issue. But I'm not sure you're going to see her out there saying we want to you know, institute a LaSalle Street tax or a head tax or a commuter tax or some of the stuff
you
hear progressives talk
about. But you also had the pop tax that was hers. And, you know, what does it say about a tax you author that you end up seeing get repealed?
Which is what's going to cause her, that's causing heartburn and consternation among the business interests in town, right? They are concerned about that. And some say, you know, behind the scenes that, oh, we think she's learned her lesson, she won't try something like that again. There's others that are very concerned about it. So, you know, she's, I know for a fact, she's been furiously dialing all kinds of big dollar donors and business interests in town, as well as union leaders, to try to line up support. So is Susana Mendoza, although she publicly won't acknowledge it, but we know we've talked to people directly who've received phone calls from her. And for now, the unions have decided to kind of hang out on the sidelines for a bit and see how these things develop. But certainly Preckwinkle establishing an exploratory committee tomorrow is her way of trying to get a leg up and get this kind of appearance of new front runner status, as Mendoza has to hang back and run her race for comptroller
on the November 6th ballot. But as we quote a labor guy in the story, if she wants in, nothing's going to stop her. It doesn't matter who else is in this thing. And you know, there's the issue where, as you mentioned about, you know, some critics and Preckwinkle's age and the age of some of the other candidates. Mendoza, as we've seen, is a very energetic campaigner. The question being, though, you know, is she have the depth of experience?
Right. That'll certainly be a question. She'll point to having two quote unquote executive offices. She was city clerk, and for a short time now, she's been comptroller. But yeah, that'll be a fair question to ask, right? I think she's in her, you know, early 40s, a lot of experience for that age. She was involved in politics at a very young age in the state legislature. So, that'll certainly be an element to watch. But you know, the one thing we also should mention is there was no quote unquote true Latino in the race today. Neil Salas Griffin has some Latino heritage as well as African American, but there was no prototypical Latino candidate in the race when Emmanuel was in, and that was, you know, Jesus Chuy Garcia was looking at it, and then when Gutierrez announced he was going to retire from Congress, Chuy is now in line to win that seat in November. It sounds unlikely that he would dip his toe in the mayoral pond, so to speak. But if Gutierrez or Mendoza runs, then you have a Latino candidate. You still have this dynamic of the city being basically a third African American, a third Latino, a third white. And so that also puts a new wrinkle into the race that was not present before Emmanuel announced that he was not going to run for a third term.
You touched on it, and last question, but the business community is still going to have an amazing say over, you know, when it comes to the donations and all of that. And I think that's a key to watch.
Absolutely. I mean, the economy in Chicago, you could say there's many areas you can criticize Rahm Emanuel on. One that it's hard to is the economic recovery of the city since the recession on his watch. The economy's booming. All kinds of corporate headquarters have relocated from the suburbs and from other states to downtown. There are some 50 cranes up all over downtown in the West Loop. Those folks are loving that right now. They don't want to see it change. The counter argument is not nearly enough of that is going on in the neighborhoods in this city, and you will see that narrative play out throughout the race. So whoever does have the business money is going to have to answer that critical question as well.
That's Bill Ruthart, my Tribune colleague, member of the political team at the Tribune, covering did yeoman service this past week. And I'm going to let you go home and go back to sleep now for a little bit so you can watch the Bears game tonight. But Bill, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Always good to be on, Rick.